It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of John, we've already seen in chapter 18 how that Jesus was brought before the council, and that as he spoke, one of the guards struck him. He's already been beaten, in other words. And now we get down to the end of the chapter, and we see that Pilate had been questioning Jesus. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Well, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone who comes to him, who receives Christ as Savior, they have a promise from him that the Holy Spirit is going to lead them into all truth. This means that when we study the Word of God, that God can speak to our hearts as saved people. And Jesus is the truth. In verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Well, we know that Jesus is the truth. And when he had said this, he went out again. This is Pilate going out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." Now, Pilate didn't want to do anything to Jesus. He didn't want to harm him. He didn't. I believe he was afraid to do anything to Jesus, but we're going to see in just a few moments that he was more afraid, I believe, of the Jews. Now, verse 39, now remember, Pilate had gone out again unto these people and said, "I find no fault at all in him." Verse 39 says, "But ye have a custom." He says, now, in other words, "I know your custom, and there is a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Verse 40. Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Can you imagine someone choosing a thief over the Son of God? Can you imagine someone asking Pilate or telling Pilate, we don't want Jesus, we want a crook. We want someone who is a sinner of this world, one who has never trusted Christ as Savior." Well, they didn't know anything about that at this point. Well, they sure did. You go back in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament tells us that there was one coming, and this one coming was Jesus Christ. Didn't call Jesus by name, but it said that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. And we know that Jesus was born of Mary, and he would be called Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. That was a fulfilling of the scripture. And had these people, these scribes and Pharisees, had they been truly, or if they had been truly of God, they would have recognized who Jesus really was. But instead, they wanted to kill him. And at this point, they wanted Barabbas released instead of Jesus being released. Chapter 19. John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Well, after he told the people, "I don't find any fault in him," and they said, "We don't want him. We want Barabbas to be released, but we want you to take Jesus and do whatsoever you can to him," because they didn't come out and say it at this point, but they wanted him dead. Well, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. He beat him. He had him whipped. And verse 2 says of John 19, "And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe." They were mocking Jesus Christ. Instead of a real crown of a king, they put a crown of thorns on him. Now, after they had put the crown of thorns on him, of course, they put that robe on him. And verse 3 says, "And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands." They beat Jesus once again. And verse 4 goes on to say, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. I believe this would have been somewhat, we don't read of it here, but I believe this would have been somewhat of a torture, and I'm sure it was torture for the Lord. I believe that Pilate was torturing him. He was hoping that he would admit to something. But, of course, Jesus didn't open his mouth. You know, the Old Testament says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as he was led there, he openeth not his mouth. Well, that's the way it was. As Pilate questioned him, Jesus didn't open his mouth. He said a few things to Pilate, but he did not say, release me. He did not say that I am going to set up my kingdom now, that what the Jews are saying about me is true, and so forth. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't beg for mercy. He didn't ask Pilate to set him free. He simply did what the scripture said he would do. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he was getting ready to be slaughtered on the cross of Calvary. Well, Pilate went out again, and he told him, he said, I don't find any fault in this man. I don't see anything that he's done wrong. Well, verse 5, then came Jesus forth. They brought him out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold, the man. I believe once again that Pilate may have been, he was maybe hoping that once they saw Jesus in the condition he was in, maybe they would have a little compassion on Jesus. But we know that they had no compassion. Their goal was to put Jesus to death. Verse 5, then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, behold, the man. When the chief priest, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Now Pilate put it back on the Jews at this point. He said, you take him, you crucify him. Verse 7, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Well, he did not make himself the Son of God according to God's word. He was already the only begotten Son of God. He was sent of God to this earth for a purpose, and that was to help individuals realize they needed a Savior, and that he was the Savior. He came for that purpose. He did not have to be made the only begotten Son of God. He was the Son of God. He didn't have to say that he was claiming to be. He was the Son of God. And I remind you once again, all through the book of John, you read how that he kept telling the scribes and Pharisees, I came down from heaven. I came from my Father who is in heaven. Now, we know that he would go back to the Father shortly. And that would be a time, I know there was a time of heartache as he was here. There was a time of heartache when he was on the cross. There was a time of rejoicing when he went back to be with the Father. And there's going to be a great time of rejoicing when we go to be with the Father. He's our Heavenly Father as well, once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. Jesus, the Bible says, is not only our Savior, he's our elder brother. And because of that, we are children of God, because of Jesus Christ, because he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And we're reading here how that these Jews, these so-called religious people of that day, how they refused the Son of God. They said he claimed to be from God. He claimed, and you keep studying this, and you find that they over and over again said he claimed to be God. Well, he was God, and he is God. They couldn't get it through their heads and in their hearts who Jesus really was. Verse 8, John chapter 19 says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Well, I don't know who he was more afraid of, Jesus or the mob that was there. I believe he was afraid of the Jews. He was more afraid of people than he was of Jesus Christ. And I find today that we're more afraid to witness for Jesus Christ than we are to the people of this world need Jesus. And we are afraid to witness for Jesus Christ. Pilate was afraid. He had already told these people that he found no fault in Jesus. Well, I wonder if you're telling people that today, that you find no fault in him, but you know that he is the Savior. You know that he is There was no guile found in his mouth, and that means there was no sin whatsoever. He was not a deceiver when he came to this world. He is the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is today, and he is the Savior today. And I wonder today, how come that we, as saved people, are so afraid to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we afraid of man more than we are afraid of God? Well, those of us who are saved, we should not be afraid of God because he's our Heavenly Father. The only thing I can come up with is the reason that we do not witness more is we're ashamed of God. We're ashamed of people knowing that we are saved people. We're Christians and on our way to heaven. God help us to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I find no fault in him. I know that he's the Savior. There is nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. He is altogether lovely. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. And we need to let the world know this. Pilate could have saved this man. He could have saved me from going to the cross. Well, let me say this without seeming to be cruel or anything, but thank God that nothing stopped Jesus Christ from going to the cross. Because had he not gone to the cross and shed his blood on that cross, then there are several things that we study, and we see that one thing was that and is, if he had not gone to the cross, the Bible would not be true. Because all through the Word of God, we see that there would be one led to the cross. There would be one who would give his life for the sins of this world. Had he not gone to the cross, I could not be saved today because he would not have shed his blood. Thank God, thank Jesus that he was willing to go to the cross and take my sins upon him. And thank God that he was able, willing to take your sin upon him. Now, if you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior, he wants to take your sin right now and wipe the slate clean. The Bible tells us that once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the sin is gone. It's just as if we've never sinned. We're justified in the sight of God. When God looks at us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. He sees the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. And if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. You need to trust him. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I find no fault in you, Lord. I want you to save me so that one day I will see you in heaven and I can thank you personally. Thank you, Lord. If you'll pray a prayer and ask God, if you'll be sincere with him, he'll be sincere with you. He'll get down to business with you if you're ready to do business with him. And that business is trusting his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. He'll forgive you of the sin that's in your life right now, that's been in your life. I don't care how bad you are, how good you've been in your life. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and he wants to save you today. He would save everybody in this world if he could, but he does not force anyone. You must come faith believing that he is one who is able and willing to save you. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You need to pray a prayer like that and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been so blinded to the things that you've tried to tell me throughout my life. But right now, Lord, I'm believing your word where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll pray a prayer and ask him to come into your heart, that whosoever will be you once you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.